Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
You get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet. Make him the cutest
that I've ever seen. Go on. Give him two
lips. Like it's like no cheese I've ever tasted. And tell him
that his loss. Here's the Sandman. Over
Sandman. As you drive into work, are you wondering if you can retire? Let's face it, this market has everyone sitting on the edge of their seats wondering if now is a good time to retire. Stick with me this morning for the entire show as I share the countdown to retirement. Five things you must do first. Good morning. I'm David Hollander, your host, and this is Protect Your Assets Radio. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome. People around here, they call me the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal and financial questions each week right here on KNBR. And that's because I've run a financial firm for almost 30 years, and I'm a practicing estate planning attorney. We are live in our studio right now, so if you have a question, you can always tweet me a question anytime. It's up right now if you want to go ahead and do it. At PYA Radio. Again, at PYA Radio. So, does retirement feel like it's right around the corner for you? Well, if you're gearing up for retirement or you just retired, chances are this market has you concerned, and it should. A lot of historic things have happened so far this year. People keep asking me more than ever, are we in a recession? And I'm going to talk about that here in a second. But a lot of people are caught between wanting to retire and wondering if they can retire. And that's where we come in. We want to help you answer that question definitively so you can stop wondering and start feeling great about your retirement. So stay with me for the entire show this morning as I count down to retirement. Five things you need to do right now. You're only going to find it from our retirement planning team at the Liberty Group, as always, like other radio show listeners have done. If you have more questions or want specific advice that's tailored to you, reach out to us at libertygroupllc.com, libertygroupllc.com. Now, I know you're waiting for the market. Let's do it. Let's get started. Boy, it's been one. This year so far, hasn't we? We have a few days left before we are mid-year, two quarters behind us. And the market has had the worst 6 months since, get this, 1970. Can you say recession? Well, stocks are across the board starting to show the signs that growth for the overall economy, which again, I'm going to keep saying recession, is slowing. And if the drop in commodities continue and we see the defensive stocks, XLU, XLV, XLP, real estate, if we see these start to assume a leadership role, then you should anticipate a material slowing in economic growth sooner than later. And so as I'm looking at my technical numbers, I wanted to give you some things to think about when you think about the S&P 500. And some of the price points we've seen. First, in early February, remember this, the S&P 500 repeatedly tested the 4,600 level before dropping 10% peak to trough. Then after March, it was 4,500 where the market failed in early April, and the S&P proceeded to drop another 10% from that level. In late April, 4,300 became a new ceiling where the market failed multiple times before stocks fell more than 11% in the back half of May. And then in early June, the key resistance level became 4,150. Once again, the S&P 500 exhausted its attempts at breaking higher, and the market fell another 13% peak to trough. So since the beginning of last week, 3,800 has become a new ceiling for the S&P 500 as sellers have repeatedly stepped in and overwhelmed the tentative weak-handed bids. Now, whether the market is poised to fall another 10% from this new resistance level, I know we closed over that slightly, which would be down towards, get this number, 3,400. Remains to be seen. And this little, I'll call it a squeezy leg higher, is what we've seen. But bottom line, and so far this year, the S&P has failed at round numbers, likely due to the impact of derivative traders, a minimum of four times. And now 3,800 has become a critical near-term tipping point to watch, as a break above could trigger another failure. So let's just look for that and keep your eyes on the technicalities of it. Now, overall, the Dow was up this week 5.4%. Finally, we had a little bit of a breather. Year-to-date, we're down over 13%. S&P up 6.4%, down 18% year-to-date. NASDAQ up 7.5%, still down 25.8%. 10-year's looking at 3.13%. I'm looking for 3.5% overall on the 10-year, and I think that could phase in later this year, maybe early next year. But I think that's the height we'll see. Does that mean that it's not a good time to buy bonds or fixed income? No. And I'll talk about that a little later as well. Oil's up 43% year to date. Bonds, this last week we saw a little bit of a gain, up 0.7%, but still down for the year, 10.5. So remember, for any sort of rally, meaningful rally to continue, we need to see inflation peak, Fed hawkishness stop, China reopen meaningfully, and geopolitical tensions subsiding. And none of that is happening, so don't kid yourself. So the bigger question is, are we in a recession? That's what I keep hearing. So let me educate you a little bit. A recession can only be determined by the National Bureau of Economic Research, NBER. They're a private nonprofit organization that conducts economic research and most notably decides when recessions start and end. A recession is popularly defined as two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. You'll notice I said a recession is defined by the NBER as in the past tense. The NBER is not a predictive organization, at least not when it comes to a recession. In fact, recessions are often identified by the NBER long after the real slowdown in the economy has ended and the recovery is underway. It's very much a backward-looking endeavor that's meant more economic history and posterity than it is to help you navigate markets. So how do we know if we're in a recession right now? Well, from an economic standpoint, the manufacturing and services PMIs, which we talk about here regularly, have to fall below 50, and we are close to that level right now. Additionally, unemployment, this is why we keep looking at that, will rise to above 6%. Jobless claims should rise above 300,000. We'll also see it in our lives. Construction around town will finally start to slow down. People we know will lose jobs or have bad years. Prices for recreational items will begin to decline and they'll become buyer's markets. Remember those? Practically, that's when we're in a recession. Are recessions bad for stocks? Well, they're not good. We examined the returns for the S&P 500 for the eight official recessions since 1969, and the average return was negative 7.58%. Three of those actually saw positive returns, while others saw moderate declines, with the worst periods being the past 50 years, the 1970 stagflation and the late 2000 financial crisis, where we saw stocks decline 22.6%, and in the 2000s, down 37.9%. Often the market pain has been felt and mostly runs its course before the recession occurs. That's because markets are forward-looking and they price in the future slowing growth and higher rates. So by the time it actually occurs, markets are looking forward to the eventual recovery. What's the takeaway you need to know? First, while stocks are down some, is the recession always priced in? No. Remember, we just talked about this, forward-looking. Second, history says that the duration of the recession is what matters and not whether a recession actually occurred. So if you look at the recessions of 2001, 2007 through 2009, those were driven by bubbles. Remember that? That combined with the Fed raising interest rates that really hurt the economy. And I don't think that's exactly what we're seeing in today's situation. We're in a more traditional high inflation, rising rates, type of situation. And so the takeaway is the Fed needs to be aggressive to break inflation as soon as possible, regardless of the short-term economic fallout that we're seeing, and then get to a point where they have tamed inflation and can again cut rates to support growth. And I think we could see that late in 23 or early 24 at the level that we're going at right now. So I hope that was helpful. And so next week, we'll continue to look at the tea leaves. We have personal consumption, we have expenditures, and of course, Thursday's jobless claims number, which feeds into the narrative we just discussed. Coming up next, what's the number one thing you need to do before you retire? We're going to find out when we come back. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Show with David Hollander. That's me. So good to be with you this morning. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. Time has flown by. The possibility of retirement, which seemed as far as the setting sun on a drive home from work maybe 30 years ago, now looks much closer to you, doesn't it? But I know what you're thinking. The market is down, your 401k and investments have dropped. And the future right now, well, looks kind of unclear. Is now the right time to call it a career? Putting the economics aside, I find some people make the mistake of thinking they're ready for retirement when they're not. They take the leap, but find out retirement isn't as carefree as they imagined, primarily because their retirement plan, or a haphazard version of one, had big gaps in it that they didn't realize were there until it was too late. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you've retired and one of your goals was to go to Rome and spend a month there. Yep, you're going big. So you get on the internet, you go to Airbnb, you find yourself a nice little place in Rome, and you figure, all right, it's going to cost this much per month and I'm going to fly over there. So you fly into the Fiumicino airport, you check into your Airbnb after 3 o'clock. After surviving a heroic taxi cab ride there from the airport. And then a couple weeks later, you start checking into your investment account on the internet to see how much money you lost. Your robo-advisor can help you, and so you think about money more and more and more each night as you try to sleep in your moderately uncomfortable room. That, of course, doesn't have any AC. This happens a lot, more than you might think, if you're thinking about money when you're living out your dreams, then you're not enjoying your retirement. Moreover, like it or not, this is evidence of having not planned very well. And another example applies to this in retirement, when you go out to dinner. If you want to buy yourself a nice gift, how do you feel about that when you buy that gift? Does any doubt in your mind enter? Or consider this. Maybe you're out there looking for a car, and right now car prices are elevated. That's because the supply is limited. So maybe you're double thinking that decision. So if you're worried about expenses and wondering whether you can afford to do the things you've always wanted to do, then you're not experiencing retirement as it was intended or should be. And I think about this because this past week, as I was sitting down with one of my multiple clients, we had a conversation, and it dawned on me how even with all the tools that we use, people are people. And they don't necessarily understand how to look at data unless someone like myself helps them understand that. So we were reviewing her plan. She's retired. And she was concerned whether or not she still could, despite what happened so far this year in the market, could spend about $750,000 on home improvements on something she's purchased in Mexico. Now, this has been a dream for her for a long time, and she wants to spend part of her retirement down there. And right now she can build or remodel this property. Get this. Can you imagine this for $100 a square foot? Can you believe that? That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Anyway, so she can do this. And she's wondering now, because the market has dropped so much, of course, because she's hearing that in the media, is this a good time to spend that money on her dreams here? So we spent some time. We went through her plan. Now, she has a electronic plan that is on the internet. It is, of course, encrypted and protected for her with her information. Every night it updates. So all of her accounts, whether they're with us or at another institution, they do integrate each night into her plan. And she can log in whenever she wants, 24 hours a day, and she can see certain things. So we spent some time going through those certain things. And as we started to do that, she started to understand that that $750,000 had been earmarked in a special account for this very purpose. And so next week, as she drives down to Mexico, yes, she's going to drive because she's bringing a car that she's going to leave there, which was a whole nother discussion about liability and so forth. But in any event, she now feels much more comfortable about that expenditure. Now, what was more unclear to her was, how does this economic bear market that we're in, how does it affect her spending? Because right now, as I said, she's retired and she's relying on that income each and every month to pay her bills here in the Bay Area and also down in Mexico. Well, that was a good question. And so we started to look through again the plan and how the plan outlines year by year by year her income, her expenses, the distributions that are coming out of the accounts that we've established for her. Again, different buckets of money doing different things. And then we started to look at how they've performed given the markets that we've been through, because it's been tough, as you heard in the market segment at the top of the hour. If you missed that, please, I know the market's scary right now, and if you want to know what's going on, you've got to listen to our market segment. So check out our podcast anywhere you get your podcast by typing in Protect Your Assets. And this morning I did a good discussion on a recession and what it means. Anyway, we spent a lot of time going through that in her electronic plan. And as she saw the numbers that were personal to her, she knew that she was okay. And she knew that things were going to be fine. This helped her sleep better. And after all, that's why they do call me the Sandman, because I help my clients sleep well at night. Are you ready to retire? Well, you can find out right now by taking my retirement checklist challenge. Our team has spent hours compiling a checklist that you can take in the comfort of your own home to see if you are ready to retire in this environment that we're in right now. You can get this absolutely complimentary because you're listening to me this morning, but you have to call us right now to get one of these. Call this number, 866-PROTECT. The number to dial is 866-776-8328. You can call my team. You can ask them to send you this checklist challenge, which is fun. It'll take you some time, probably 5-6 minutes to go through it. But answer these questions honestly and you'll see where you are. You can also text us right now. Text PYA to 797979. Again, text PYA to 797979 and get yourself a copy of this in a PDF where you can fill it out and see if you're ready. So it's absolutely free, but you need to do that right now. We will email it to you, by the way, once the show is over. So please go ahead and give us a call, 866-PROTECT. Get your checklist challenge and see how close you are to being ready to retire. Now, coming up next is time for our popular They Say segment, where they say it's easy to figure out how much income you'll need in retirement. Find out what you don't know. You certainly don't want to miss this one. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Show with David Hollander. That's me. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. As you drive into work, are you wondering if you can retire? Let's face it, this market has everyone sitting on the edge of their seats wondering if we are in a recession. And if so, is now a good time to retire? Well, today I've been sharing a countdown to retirement, 5 things you must do first. And if you missed any of the show, we were talking about the market and some things you need to know before you retire. You can catch that on our podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. Just type in Protect Your Assets and listen to the content we've been covering so far this morning. Now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and just sometimes bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer.
All I know is that I don't. So here's one they say. They say that you should use one of those online calculators to figure out how much income you will have in retirement. It's so easy, right? Wrong. This is one area you can't afford to make a mistake in. Notice how I said you will have in retirement. What am I talking about? Well, think about this. You're going from getting a paycheck every 2 weeks to withdrawing money out of your 401k. Maybe collecting Social Security. Maybe you're lucky and have a pension. And oh yes, now that your rentals are depreciated almost to the end of life, maybe your debt's paid down or off, you're going to have rental income that's going to have different treatment. So what could go wrong with all those sources of income coming in? Well, I think you know the answer already. Plenty. Many of the free online retirement calculators people use when analyzing their retirement readiness can be misleading. For instance, these calculators will ask for an account balance, leading people to think that the balance shows the exact amount of money they have to use or live off of. Well, that's not often the case, because the net of tax value, which is the amount left in your hands after you've paid your taxes, is the real balance. And calculators are using the gross or before tax balance amount to run simulations for your retirement future. But it is the after-tax amount that you have available to use for your lifestyle that matters. So think about this. You may have $500,000 now in your 401k, even after the market has come down. But after taxes, in your tax bracket, that could be really $350,000. In contrast, if you have a $500,000 balance showing on a Roth IRA account, well, that's exactly what you have available to spend. Because remember, Roths are not subject to taxes as you earn money in them and as you go to take it out later in retirement. That leads a lot of people to ask, well, should I have a Roth IRA? It's a great question. I've done a show just on that, so you can go again, dig into the podcast and find that show. But generally, as long as it's been in that account for 5 years since you first contributed to the Roth and you're 59 and a half or older, should be in pretty good shape. Also, once you start to draw your Social Security income, realize that that can be taxable up to 85% of the amount you receive. Yeah, you heard me, 85%. So depending on how much money you earn from different sources of income, like I covered earlier, up to 85% of the amount you receive from Social Security could be subject to income tax each and every year going forward that you and your spouse collect that. Add to that, the more you make from those other sources of income, the more you're going to have to pay for your entitled Medicare. They take that right out of your Social Security. So that's another area where you're paying indirectly a tax because you have more income from other sources. This is not an area you want to play around with, and certainly not an area you want to find out after the fact. And so if you have rental properties, you need to ask yourself a question. Do you have any more depreciation left in that property to deduct? And if you don't, what are some things you could do? I know you've owned these properties for years. You probably paid the mortgages down or off, and now you have less deductions. And as you add all that up and you look at much higher tax rates in the future, potentially, because remember, the Trump tax reductions that we're enjoying right now are going away. The expiration date is just a couple years away. So once that goes away, you are going to pay higher taxes on the same amount of income that you have now. And if you have more income, because you've lost some of these things that we've been talking about, you're paying more higher taxes, period, end of story. So the bottom line is, when planning for retirement, where you put your money and how you invest it based on the type of tax treatment is critical if you want to have more after-tax income in retirement. And so right now, when rates are up, I'm seeing a couple spots of interest. We like fixed income right now, particularly tax-free bonds. Today, we are talking about five things you need to do before you retire. And if retirement is a priority for you, then you need to have more income coming in on a monthly basis. So if this political environment, inflation, the volatile stock market, or higher taxes have you concerned, don't just sit there. Pick up the phone right now. Give us a call. Set up a 15-minute strategy to find out how you can make more on your money right now. Call this number, 866-PROTECT. Again, 866-776-8328 to find out how much more you could be earning right now with safety. Or you can always connect with us at libertygroupllc.com. Now, it's time for a brief break. But keep it tuned right here, because when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about how to create a diverse income stream to help protect you from running out of income in retirement. It always pays you to keep it tuned right here. We'll be right back.
We both know what happens when you stomp in a glass house.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show protect your assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. And isn't that name so relevant right now when markets have been so volatile this year? I was talking about that at the top of the market show segment. We were talking about how this first 6 months of 2022 have been the worst we've seen since 1970. And we are in a bear market right now, and it seems as if we're in a recession as well. But as I talked about at the top of the hour, recessions are not predicted until they're over. And that's just because of the nature of the way they go. So if things feel like they're slowing down, well, they are. And that's the sign that we are in a recession. And so hopefully this morning we've helped you get prepared for retirement, despite the fact that markets are going to do what they're going to do. Now, we've been talking today about the five things you need to know before you retire. Hopefully you've done these if you're retired now, but if you just retired, well, hopefully it's not too late. This is a statistic that came from the Employee Benefit Research Institute. This is a study they did that says 46%, think about this, 46% of retired households spend more annually in the first 2 years of retirement than they did just before retiring. Think about that, almost half. So I know that seems kind of daunting. If you're already just retired and you're spending more money right now and you see your account balance is going down and you're just wondering, what do we do? This is one of those periods that's tough. It's a tough period. And if you're looking at retiring, you're probably thinking about maybe now is not the best time because the market is uncertain and it looks like we are in a recession and it looks like there's a bear market upon us and all the terrible gloom and doom stuff, right? Well, if you're starting to prepare, and let me give you some more tips here to hopefully help you get ready for this. I hope you've already started to prepare a budget before retirement. And if you haven't, here are some steps you can take right now to get ready to do that. Here's the first step you want to take. Add up your monthly expenses. What do I mean by that? I'm talking about the monthly ones. I want you to figure out the taxes because remember the previous segment I was talking about the taxes that you're going to pay on the new sources of income that you're going to receive in retirement, like Social Security or a pension, or maybe your rental properties are going to be treated differently in retirement. All these issues, Medicare. So you need to factor those taxes and what they look like in your monthly expenses. And there may be extras, right? Like long-term care costs. What about your kids, right? So all of those sort of things you need to add to your monthly expense budget. Step number two, I'd like you to separate those expenses into two groups. First, ones that we'll call non-discretionary. These are things that you must have, like food, like gas for your car, or maybe you've gone electric, in which case you're paying an electric bill, right? Versus discretionary. These are extras. And I would say that in most situations, the things your kids are asking for would be the extras because it's more important for you to make sure you're taking care of you first. I know that's tough to say, but it is in most cases. They really need it. They really need it now. You know what I mean? So anyway, from discretionary, also traveling, travel would be discretionary. Break them up. Non-discretionary versus discretionary. And put those expenses in two different groups. It'll help you focus a little better on your priorities. Step number three, tally up all the sources of income that you have. Now, this is a little tricky, I know, particularly now, because here's what's happened. You've had a 401k, you've been contributing to it all these years. It's done what it's done. It's gone up, it's gone down. It's unfortunately down a little bit now, right? And you're gonna have to start taking money out of that to live on. The question is, how do you do that? Because it's been the way it's been for so many years. Well, you have to start to look at that from a different standpoint. It's going to generate income for you, but you have to break it up. You have to break it up into different buckets for different purposes. Some will be for the next 1 to 5 years. Some will be for the next 5 to 10, and some will be from 10 to 20. What's your life expectancy? Social Security. You really need to look at Social Security in a serious way. I can't tell you how many clients, hundreds that we've seen, where we've looked at their Social Security in detail and we've been able to create literally hundreds of thousands of dollars of more income, particularly when you have a spouse, in Social Security benefits. It's something you just don't want to play around with. It's that serious. You've earned it. You are entitled to it. But you make mistakes with it all the time because there's so many different ways to get it. And it has so many implications on your Medicare, for instance. So you know, get with somebody about Social Security and figure out how to do that right. Pensions. If you have a pension, you're lucky. A lot of people don't. And if you do, you have a choice to make. When you go and tell your HR department you're done and you're getting ready to retire, they send you a letter. And in that letter or in that email, it gives you all these options about how you will take that pension. Now, you may be married and your spouse legally in California is entitled to part of that pension. So regardless of what choice you make, she he will have to sign off on that. And that will be something that you should discuss together. But which option do you take? It has so many implications because of your health. Your health is what drives ultimately that benefit and the way you think about it. Interest rates, sure. Growth in the portfolio, sure. Those are all things that are relevant. But you need to evaluate that and make sure you make the right decision before you just check that box, sign the paperwork, both of you have to sign it, and send it back into your HR department. Now, what about real estate? Real estate's complicated because, first of all, you own it, yes, and you enjoy it, and it's done well for you, sure. But what happens when you go? Who's going to run that property? Is it going to stay in your estate? Is it going to be sold? What's going to happen? Do your kids even want to deal with it? These are all very important questions. And so as you start to look at it from an investment standpoint, an income standpoint, you should also be thinking about it from an estate planning standpoint. What are you going to do with that asset? All right. Now, step number four, I want you to subtract your expenses from your income to see what your budget. Yeah, that's how you get that. See what your budget should be. And even for the most complex estates, this sort of analysis is very important to do on a regular basis, particularly before tax time, because it's never too late. As long as you do it all before December 31st, you can still make some adjustments, and we do this all the time. So really take a look at all those different things and see where you sit right now, hopefully before you retire. Now, the next thing you want to look at is, what account do you start to take money out of first when it comes to living off of your savings and investments? This is different. It pays you to come up with a withdrawal strategy that minimizes taxes, maximizes profitability, and doesn't force you to be selling things off when the markets are all down like they are right now. I mean, we talked about this at the top of the hour. You got the NASDAQ technology off right now, almost 26%. You got the S&P and Dow both off 13 and 18% respectively in bear markets. You don't want to be selling your stocks right now to live off of them unless you absolutely have to. There may be other things you could do. So it pays you to come up with a withdrawal strategy that minimizes taxes, minimizes losses, and avoids any sort of penalties that might be embedded in those investments. As a general rule of thumb, I would ask you to look at your taxable accounts first. These are the ones that you know you get your 1099s on each year. And try to allow the stocks that are down right now, the 401ks, the IRAs, allow those to continue to compound and grow for as long as possible. But this should be a lesson for you as well, that perhaps it's time to take some profit out of those things and stick them into other buckets, even in those tax deferred accounts, to protect yourself. Just a minute ago, I was talking about that 8% option. That's a very viable, good option right now that still gives you some exposure to the upside of the market, but protects your downside. And right now, that's what you should be thinking about, protecting your downside. Remember, in our office, we have three tax professionals who can help customize a tax financial program for you with our financial advisors that can make sure you're getting the most out of your money. And let's face it, if 2020 taught us anything, and I put this very well out in the market segment at the top of the hour, the market is showing us that anything can happen. And so make sure, no matter how foolproof you feel your plan may be, that you get that second opinion, because you want to make sure that you don't have a problem later. So if you have questions and they aren't getting answered, or you have that feeling, you know the one, well, remove the gray area right now and feel better about your financial independence by getting a second opinion checkup virtually right now by calling this number, 866-PROTECT. Again, the number to call right now to talk to a fiduciary is 866-PROTECT. You can pick up the phone. My team's there right now. They're working. They can talk to you. They can make this easy. We do the heavy lifting. 866-PROTECT, 866-PROTECT, and request your own personal meeting to get a second opinion on something you may not know about. I want to thank my team for putting together another great show today. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer. And of course, all my fabulous producers, Phil and Brett, doing the hard lifting back there. Because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. Thanks again, everybody. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets show on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Have a great weekend and go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.